Welcome to our Bible study on the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. As always, I am assuming that you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. I also want to invite you to come to our in-person Bible study on Wednesdays from 5:15 until 6 p.m. at the Fellowship Hall. The healing in our passage and the healing in chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, are only found in the Gospel of Luke. Luke often balances stories involving a woman with a similar story about a man. For example, at Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 38, we have the story of Simeon and Anna. Right after our passage, at chapter 13, verse 18 through 21, we have the story of the man with the mustard seed and the woman with the leaven. And at chapter 15, verses 3 through 10, we have the parable of a man's lost sheep and the parable of a woman's lost coin. In our passage, the story of the healing of the woman is balanced at chapter 14, 1 through 6, with the healing of a man. In both cases, neither one of them asks to be healed. Both healings occur on the Sabbath. Both involve controversy, either with the leader of the synagogue or the Pharisees. Both report a pronouncement as well as a healing, and in both cases, Jesus invites his opponents to reason from what they would do for an ox with what they would do for a human. But our passage isn't just about a healing. It's also about the Sabbath. And earlier in chapter 4, verses 31 through 37, and in chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, we saw Jesus touch on issues involving Sabbath and healing. For the first time since chapter 12, verse 1, we have a change in venue. Up until now, Jesus has been speaking to disciples and large crowds. Now, Jesus appears in a synagogue. And while we are told at chapter 4, verse 16, that it was Jesus' custom to go to synagogue on the Sabbath, this will be the last time he visits a synagogue in the Gospel of Luke. At verse 11, the word spirit is used, and at verse 16, the word Satan is used. But the story is treated like it is a straightforward healing instead of an exorcism. In other words, Jesus does not command any spirit of Satan or demons to leave this woman, as we see at Luke chapter 4, verse 33 through 37, chapter 8, verse 26 through 39, and at chapter 9, verse 37 through 43. Here, he simply heals her. Same with the man in chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Jesus took the man and healed him, but we're not told what Jesus said, and there is no mention of demons or spirits being cast out. In verse 12, as already pointed out, Jesus takes the initiative and acts. The woman does not ask to be healed, and her healing is not a result of an act of faith by the woman. Jesus saw is in the primary position in the sentence, which is a subtle emphasis. She is the kind of person, crippled, female, and in the shadows, that people tend not to see. But Jesus did. And after he saw her, he called her to him. Marginalized and in the shadows, sometimes it is precisely people such as the bent woman who are moved from the periphery of society to the center. You may recall at Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, Jesus does something similar with children. Let the children come to me. At verse 13, we are told Jesus laid hands on her, which completes her healing, and she is made straight and praises God. At verse 14, a third character is introduced, and for the rest of the passage, Jesus interacts with the leader, the ruler of the synagogue, rather than the woman. The healing sparks controversy because it was done on the Sabbath, And that word Sabbath appears five times in seven verses. The leader does not protest to Jesus, but rather, perhaps in an attempt to sway public opinion and establish his own authority, declares to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." In some ways, this is not an unreasonable argument. After all, she has been afflicted for 18 years. What difference would one more day make? But on the other hand, 18 years is long enough to wait. The leader's remark is cagey. In his response, he alludes to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 13. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But he has made one slight editorial addition, the Greek word dea, which is it's necessary or ought. But dea does not appear in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 13. In other words, the leader is trying to intensify, there are 6 days on which work ought to be done. At verse 15, the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites." It's never a good thing when Jesus answers you and the first thing he says is hypocrite. But notice, Jesus is using the plural form. Jesus is addressing the crowd, so the word hypocrites is not just applied to the leader, but to those who think like he does. At verse 16, the woman is referred to as a daughter of Abraham, restoring not only her physical health, but also her identity. At verse 17, the response is one of total victory. Jesus' adversaries have been put to shame, and all the people rejoiced. In first century Mediterranean society, honor and shame were extremely important. The final phrase is usually translated as, "We're done by him," from the Greek word genomonisos, but a more literal translation would be coming into being. Now there is a perfectly good Greek word for doing, poeo, but Luke does not use it here. Instead, Luke uses the word genomenios, which comes from genomai, which is a word associated with creation, perhaps underscoring that God, through Jesus, is doing a new thing. In conclusion, while it is easy to criticize the leader of the synagogue for being too trapped in his interpretation of religious rules and his interpretation of the commandments, the truth is we all sometimes fall prey to what we think is right. The difference is the leader clung to his system instead of rejoicing in God's grace. Jesus could have waited until the next day to give healing, and no one would have criticized him for it. But Jesus refused to let the suffering continue if it could be helped then and there. There is a Latin proverb that says, "He gives twice who gives quickly." While we may not be able to provide the miraculous healing that Jesus did for this woman, we certainly can seek to make sure that no helpful deed that we can do today is put off until tomorrow. This concludes our study. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.